turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 25. Read a couple verses here and see what the Lord would do this morning. Amen. Feel the presence of the Lord in this house. Feels good in the house of worship. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And when you have it, would you say amen? Stand with me, and the word of the Lord says, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press or the crowd behind and touched his garment. For she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." Where the Lord says, she had gone to many doctors, and they had not done anything except cause her a lot of pain. She had paid them all the money she had, but instead of getting better, she only got worse. And I want to talk to you this morning. I want to preach to you this morning. Enough is enough. Enough is enough. Would you lift your voices and lift your hands unto the Lord? Come on. Enough is enough. That's it, RT. Pray right now, God, every heart, every saint of God, every backslider, every visitor, God, every heart this morning, God, that we would be doers, hearers of your word, God, for you are enough. Your love is enough, God. You do all things, Lord. You're perfect in every way, God. We pray that you would fill somebody with the Holy Ghost, God. Lord, that you would heal somebody. You would do a miracle in this place this morning, God. We give you the glory. We give you the honor. We give you the praise. For you are good and you are great and greatly to be praised. Somebody say amen. God bless you as you're seated in the presence of the Lord. Jesus had just gotten off of the boat, and he had healed a few people. A man with palsy in Matthew chapter 9. Right before our scripture reading in Mark, he casted out a man with devils, or we would know legion, in Gadara specifically. He called and summoned Matthew or Levi, we would know the tax collector, to be a disciple. And at the point of our question, or our scripture text this morning, Jesus was answering questions about fasting. The scripture tells us that Jesus was more than likely in Capernaum. Capernaum was the city that Jesus himself declared as his own city. In fact, it's in Matthew chapter 9, in verse 1, the word of the Lord says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city." In fact, I've had the privilege, you folks blessed me with the trip to Israel. And so last week I was in Capernaum, and there is a sign that is posted as you enter into the city. It says, "Capernaum, the town of Jesus." Jesus had a crowd around him. In fact, when you read this scripture setting, they were, after he had healed the man of the unclean spirit, the one with legions, they were asking him to leave their city. But we get to this point in scripture where they were welcoming Jesus as he came into their city. And I just preach there for a moment. Do we have the attitude that he is welcome any place, anywhere, at any time? That he's just as close as the mention of his name. I want to make sure that we allow room and a place for Jesus. Come on, somebody. We ought not get too busy or have too much going on that we can't make room for Him. We say, Lord, you're kind of crowding in my space. If there's anybody that we want to crowd in our space, it ought to be the Lord and the presence of the Lord. Come on, somebody. Enough is enough with playing games and playing church. But I want to make sure that when He comes, that I'm ready when He comes. Yeah. Scripture tells us that there was a crowd around Him, and there was a man in particular by the name of Jairus, who Jairus was an important man. He was a keeper or the ruler of the synagogue. Jairus was a somebody. He was important. He in Capernaum, he mattered. He was a person of prestige. In fact, you notice that the scripture mentions his name as Jairus, but he had a 12-year-old daughter, his only daughter, that was deathly sick. And so Jairus had a request for Jesus. The scripture tells us, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed and shall live. And Jesus went with Jairus, as the scripture says in Mark 5:24. And it says that much people followed him and thronged him. Or there was a crowd. There was a pushing. It was like an entourage. There was just a lot of people surrounding Jesus. And so we read in Luke 8:42, it tells us, for he had only one daughter, about 12 years old, and she is lay a dying. And the people thronged Jesus. This man was recognized as a somebody, a leader within the community that had a need. Jesus was responding to the request of this man. And aren't you glad this morning that Jesus still responds to the request of His people this morning? Can anybody testify that He has responded to your request even when other people said, I don't got time for you, I don't want to hear it, I don't know what you're going through? But can I tell you that enough is enough, that He hears you, He sees you, He'll respond to your need this morning? Jesus was en route to help this man Jairus when another person comes into the picture. She's identified as a woman with an issue. And all the men say, amen. Yeah, been naughty. Her need is what identified her. An issue. A vital or unsettled matter. An issue. A concern or a problem. An issue. An important topic or problem for debate or discussion. An issue. The point at which an unsettled matter is ready for a decision. We don't even know her name, but we know that she has an issue. Her issue has become her identity. The issue, or the disease that we would know, was a chronic hemorrhaging for which she had found no relief from the physicians. A lady that was deemed not really important because she is nameless in the scriptures. She had no status because she is nameless. None of the Gospels mention her by name, but the Gospels mention Jairus by name. She was not the intention nor the focal point of where Jesus was headed, but she was somebody too. Somebody's daughter, somebody's friend. Maybe she was somebody's mother. We understand that 12 years is a long time, but 12 years is not a lifetime. 12 years is just a mere fraction of what we call life. We understand that most of us have gone through 12 years of schooling, and some of you have spent 12 years in marriage and 12 years in military, and some of you have spent 12 years in incarceration. But 12 years does not define who you are. But this reality of this lady was that her issue identified her to who she was. We call her today the lady with the issue of blood. But we serve a real God today that understands that we all have issues, and your issue does not define who you are. It is a part of your history, but you can still make history with His story. She, according to the Mosaic law was unclean. The Mosaic law was unclean. And certain rules and customs, the scripture deemed her as an outcast until she could become clean. In fact, scripturally, in Leviticus 15 and 25, it says, and if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of the time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of the issue of her uncleanness, she shall be as the days of her separation, she shall be unclean. This lady with the issue is still a person. She has a situation, but it's just not who she is. It's just a part of what has happened to her. Can I preach to somebody here today that for 12 years, this lady has dealt with a continual bleeding that probably was caused for something that went wrong in her body. But we know her today as the lady with the issue of blood. I wonder how many embarrassing moments this lady may have had, how many events she may have missed, and how many times she arrived late and left early to avoid the crowds. How many times she was sneered at, talked about, laughed, made fun of, was the talk of the town because of her issue. 12 years is a long time. The Bible says in Luke 8 and 43, and the woman have an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all of her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. Not only did she have an issue, she was in financial disarray. She had spent all of her living. This was not all of her savings or all of her credit. It was all of her living. It was everything that she had. It was all that she could group together, everything, her living. That means she has spent her food money and her rent money, all of her living. You've learned through enough, as long as I've been here, I can testify at least that Brother Durazik has talked to us about debt and disposable income and what you have to get throughout the day to pay the bills. This lady didn't have anything, and yet she was sick. And she was getting worse and worse, and people took her money, and she just began to go throughout life, probably wondering if this was just the way things were always going to be, because 12 years is a long time. In 12 years, there's a lot that could happen. You can go from kindergarten to high school, and that is 12 years. You could start a company. Some of us have lost 12 years through some things, through some bad decisions. But can I tell you, aren't you glad that your issue does not identify who you are in the eyes of God? That such were some of you, but He's called you out of darkness. He's brought you out of the miry clay. He's washed you in His blood. You say, Pastor, don't you know what they did? Yeah, we know what they did. But don't you remember the blood of Jesus is able to cleanse and to save and to wash away and to forgive all people. It's enough for Him. It ought to be enough for us. Saint of God, your issue does not define who you are.
Amen.
She was in a financial hardship. She was bankrupt. Money was gone. Doctors, I'm sure, tried their very best. Thank the Lord for doctors. But they just didn't seem to be able to help her. With all due respect, Luke, the beloved Luke, who wrote the book of Acts and the Gospel of Luke, he was a physician himself. So when Luke writes, he's writing with compassion as well. It says, when he writes, he said that she spent all her living upon physicians. That's a doctor writing that. She was not just spending the excess. It was spending all her living. She was spent. You ever make that statement? I'm spent. This lady was in a state of desperation. She was in a bad situation, and her issue was getting worse. She was what we would classify as damaged goods. She was hopeless. She was a nobody. I wonder if there were family members or friends that said, woman, just deal with it. Just learn to do with what you've got. This is your lot in life. It is what it is. But I wonder if it was a day like today where she said, enough is enough. I wonder, because there's never been a day like today. Today is a blessing from the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. I wonder if it was a day like today where she said to herself, enough is enough of this lifestyle. Enough is enough of this torment. Enough is enough of living in despair and embarrassing myself and others. Enough is enough of being broke. We don't understand everything about what she was dealing with, but according to the Mosaic law, she was infectious. She had the cooties. For reals. No crossing fingers or toes. She had the cooties. She was contagious according to the law. Unclean. Wonder if she said enough is enough. You know, sin will make you unclean. Sin is infectious. Lukewarmness is unclean. Lukewarmness is living in between in the church today and out of the church tomorrow. You dress holy on Sunday and then you dress unholy and ungodly and you listen and watch and involve yourself with things that you know aren't pleasing to God. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that says, enough is enough. I've tried rehab and I've read the books and I've tried every thing that under the sun to get some help. But I wonder if there's somebody under the sound of my voice that says, you know what, Pastor, I can relate to this lady here this morning because I walked into this church today and I kind of got that attitude like that lady, that enough is enough. That if God was able to heal and deliver and do some things for the people in the church that I'm seated next to, and some of the miracles that have taken place in this altar in 2019, I may be a nobody, but to Him I'm a somebody. Because He died on the cross for my sins and His blood He shed on Calvary for me that I could have life and life more abundantly. I would to God that somebody would have an attitude and say enough is enough. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I don't want to live in a lukewarm state anymore. I don't want to live in between heaven and hell. But I want to make sure that I hear those words, well done, thy good and faithful servant. I've had enough of the devil. Games. I've had enough of chasing after the deceitfulness of sin, but I want to make sure that I get healed, I get delivered, I get saved, and I stay saved. I don't want to just be saved, Brother Jurassic, but Brother Ronnie, I want to stay saved. I wonder if it was a day like today where she said, enough of this nonsense. Enough of, I am not my condition. My condition does not define who I am forever. My issue is an issue. And although it may be for a decade or more, there's still enough in me to become what God has created me to become.
Yeah.
The Bible says that when she heard of Jesus. Mark 5 and 27. It says, she came in the press behind and touched His garment. We understand in the scriptures and that the fame of Jesus had went abroad. We don't need to qualify or clarify or even quantify that this morning, because we understand that the fame of Jesus had spread all throughout. But she said, if I may touch but His clothes, I shall be whole. This lady who was infectious with the disease and was unclean physically and according to the Mosaic law took a risk. I know that some of us are more risk takers than others, but what are you willing to risk to get to heaven? See, this was a risky move. It was very bold. It took a lot of courage. She demonstrated courage. The roads that she had to travel on were not like the roads that we know today in North America. The roads there still to this day are very tight. The town, Capernaum, was not very big. And in fact, most of the area there is very hilly and rocky. It's not a modern like we would know today as here at North America or even here in specifically in Santa Maria. The conditions are much different then than they are today, even in that area. But the crowd was pressing. In fact, the scripture says there was a multitude. So that would allow us to understand that the multitude would be a crowd. Jesus is walking with a crowd of people, and no doubt they are crowding in on him. If you've ever been in a crowd, I'll use the example of going to a sporting event or trying to get into a Coliseum, or even for all of you daredevils that shop on Black Friday. The crowd behind you pushes you forward, whether you want to go forward or not. They move you. Have you ever been in a crowd like that? You remember the days in school, leaving an event where there's hundreds or thousands of people and the crowd is pushing. Don't crowd, you say. But that doesn't seem to help. You just got to move forward. Jesus would be wearing a robe, as was the custom. And as the custom of the teachers or the rabbis, the robe would have tassels or fringes at the bottom or at the hem of the robes. Specifically, the scripture tells us in Numbers chapter 15 and verse 38, speak unto the children of Israel and bid them that they make them fringes in the borders of their garments throughout their generations, and that they put the fringe of the borders a ribband of blue. Speak to the people of Israel. Tell them from now on they are to make tassels on the corners of their garments and to mark each corner tassel with a blue thread. When you look at these tassels, you remember and keep all the commandments of God and not get distracted by everything you feel or see that seduces you into infidelities. The tassels, verse 40 says, will signal remembrance and observance of all my commandments to live a holy life to God. In fact, I learned something on my trip that every pomegranate has 613 seeds. There's 613 laws, Mosaic laws of thou shalt and thou shalt not. So God had order. There was tassels or fringes, no doubt, on the robe that Jesus would be wearing. And this lady says within herself, Mark 5 and 28, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. I think I'm wearing the outfit we use to take pictures with. I like this suit. I like this shirt and this tie. But there is no power or authority with this suit. But she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Who told her that? Where's the precedence of that in Scripture? Such great faith that she had. Nobody knew this lady, but she had great faith. Remember, she was unknown. Perhaps that's you this morning. You have great faith, but you're identified as a person with an issue. You've got talent, but your issue has held you back. You've got potential, but your issue has limited you. You've got ideas, but you've allowed your issue to get the best of you. Your faith is stirring this morning because you're relating to this lady in the scripture. You're relating to what we know the rest of the story, and you're able to position yourself and say, you know, Pastor, I can relate to this lady, and I feel something stirring in my heart as you're preaching, Pastor, because I've seen what God has done for others. I was a little skeptical when I came to this church, but Pastor, I've seen the miracles upon miracles that have taken place for people that are here this morning, the dozens of miracles that God has done, the dozens of financial blessings that God has done, the things that God has allowed for us to see as a people here today. I've come to preach to somebody this morning to let your faith be stirred. Her faith was stirred when she heard of Jesus. I believe it was because somewhere she heard about a deaf person being healed over in another city. I believe it was because she may have heard about the man that was demon-possessed that the Lord had healed. I believe it was because she may have heard about the man with palsy that the Lord had heard. And you're here this morning and you got issues or an issue and you need God to deal with it. And I went to God this morning, you would do as the scripture said. So let the faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If God has done it for the hundreds and the thousands and the millions, and we got a record book and a recording of what God has done, then enough already with the crybaby and the whining and the complaining and the doctor's report. But you get in an altar, you lift your hand and say, you know what? If God did it for her and God did it for them, He can do it for me this morning. Somebody say, won't He do it? What God has done for you, He'll do for somebody else. Because He's a God of excess. My cup runneth over. Lamentations 3. Plenty of mercy for all of us. Over and over again. Ephesians 3 and 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. Have you ever said, I've never thought about that? But He has. Have you ever said, wow, why didn't I think about that? Why did I come with that idea? Well, He has. He's there in the past. He's here in the present. And He'll be there in the future. Enough is enough already. We're trying to figure out things on your own and trying to do it on your own. How's it working out for you? You're like Groundhog's Day all over again. Enough is enough. Just surrender to God already and say, you know what? I'm going to give it to Him. All of my issues, all of my problems, all of my transgressions, all of my sins, I'm going to lay it at the foot of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
What God has promised you is still able to come to pass. Are you waiting on God? Have you ever considered that maybe He's waiting on you? Somebody shout, I've had enough. I mean, don't you know? Haven't you heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainted not? Neither is weary. There's no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Listen. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Enough already. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run. Any spiritual runners in the house? They shall run and not be weary. Say, I'm not a runner. I'm just a walker. Well, they shall walk. And not faint. When God does something, He does it good. And He does it right. I don't care what your issue is or who your issue may be. It's not too hard for God. Neither is it too small for Him to do something for. If it's important to you, then it's important to Him, because He's your heavenly Father. He loves you. He's always loved you. He is love. He can never not be what He's not. And He is love. And the scripture says we love Him because He first loved us. He's just and He's perfect. His ways are right and they've always been right. And He's always on time. Even when we think He's late, He is a God that is always on time. Enough. This lady, no doubt, had enough. She said within herself, if I may but touch the hem of His garment, I could be whole if I could just touch the tassel. Huh. And someone here this morning has had enough. You've had enough of sin. You've had enough of spending your time in waste and excuses. You've come to the right place this morning. Yeah. Because in just a few minutes, I'm going to make an altar call. And you're going to have to demonstrate some courage if you want the Lord to minister to you this morning. There's about to be a renewing in this place in a minute for somebody. The presence of the Lord is in this place. Just like He was physically present for the lady with her issue, His presence is in this place this morning. She said, if I could but touch the hem of His garment, the dangling tassel of blue thread at the end of His robe. She makes her way through the press. Courageous, risky, narrow roads, rocky or stony terrain. She makes her way as she's walking, putting other people in harm's way and potentially infecting them according to the Mosaic law. Yeah. The lady with the cooties was coming, walking behind you or beside you, ceremonially unclean. And if she bumped into you, you get the cooties too. Think about that. You ever try not to touch somebody in a crowd? You ever go to the DMV and try to have some personal space? There's some here today, three in particular that I can think of that have served their time in military in other countries. Some have spent time in the Middle East. There's not a lot of personal space. We have a 3-foot bubble. But in some cultures, there's no personal space. It's uncomfortable. It's the way it is. In a crowd with somebody with an infectious disease that the scriptures tell you is unclean, you wouldn't want them getting close to you, getting up in your face and business, right? It's uncomfortable breathing the air that you're breathing. True story. This lady took a risk and she stepped out, Brother Mario, cooties and all. She said to herself, if I may but touch the hem of His garment. I wonder if, think about this, anybody in the medical field, there's a nurse here, two nurses, three nurses maybe, that you lose enough blood, you become what? Weak. Scripture tells us life is in the blood. She had an issue of blood. She was no doubt weak. What happens when you lose too much blood? You pass out. Well, Tony, is there a proper name for that? You faint. I wonder if she was at the point of faint because she had to get through the crowd exerting a lot of energy. I wonder what it took for her mentally and physically to not just spiritually endure this, but to get through and say, I got to get to Jesus. I'm not supposed to be here. I'm a nobody, but He's going to somebody else's house to heal somebody's only daughter. They're more important because they're the keeper of the place of worship. And I can't even go to the place of worship because I'm not welcome there because I have an issue. Could you imagine if you couldn't go to the place of worship because of your sin? But if you could imagine that if Pastor said, Brother Jarozic at one door, Brother Bonham at the other door, Brother Parra at another door, Brother Marquez at another door, and say, you know what? Anybody with any sin in their life, they're not welcome into this place. But aren't you glad the Lord says, you know what? Come one. Come on, enough is enough. Enough of the blood is enough to cover everybody. Enough of forgiveness for everybody once and for all. And I wonder if that lady had to crawl through and if she got knocked down and she's on her hands and knees. And in that area, it's rocky. Yeah, it's rocky. Not... but it's rocky. Pottery and clay on the ground. Weak. Typically, women are not as strong as men, typically. So I wonder if just one bump of a lady that's lost a lot of blood finds herself on the floor, but she sees the tassel. I may not have enough strength to get to the altar, Pastor. But if I could get a brother or a sister next to me just to reach out and to pray with me. Because I've had enough already. And what God has done for Mr. Coronado, He can do for me. And I may not be able to make it to the altar, Pastor, for you to pray for me. But if I could just get next to somebody and I could ask them to pray with me, I may not have enough strength or courage to walk up to the front, Pastor. But you said He's as close as the mention of His name. So you're saying, Pastor, I could sit at my chair. You could sit at your chair and you can lift your hands right where you are. And in the glory of the Lord would begin to touch you right where you are. Enough already with the excuses and say, Pastor, I'll wait till tonight. Can I tell you, there's no church tonight. Well, Pastor, I'll wait till Wednesday. Can you guarantee you'll be here Wednesday? Pastor, I'll wait for the evangelist, Brother Cornejo, in a couple weeks. I'll wait till the new year. Can I tell you, the scripture says, now is the appointed time. Today is the day of salvation. I would to God we would get ambitious and excited and in a hurry to get to Jesus as we are to get to a party or to get to an ugly sweater concert or to get to a Christmas banquet. I would to God we would say, enough is enough. Everything's got to stop. I got to get to Jesus. I got to get to church. I got to get to the altar. I got to talk to Him because I got some issues that He needs to resolve. You musicians, make their way. Huh. She touches the hem of His garment, and immediately the scripture says she was made whole.
Yeah.
When something's made whole, it is complete. Huh. It's like taking a piece of the pie, eating it, and then the whole pie being put back together as if nobody took a piece. She was made whole. Immediately, Jesus stops and said, "Who touched me?" See, when He couldn't touch her, she touched Him. You can touch Him. For I perceive that virtue or power, when you look at that word virtue, it's the same word that we get in Acts 1 and 8. After you receive the Holy Ghost, you shall receive power. It's dunamis. It's dynamite. Explosive. I felt explosive power flow out. She wanted to remain unknown, Sister Para. She just wanted to get lost in the crowd. But He calls her. Not by name. But He calls her daughter. One man that was important in the church and in the community had one daughter that was 12 years old. He said, "Lord, I need you to come heal my daughter." This unnamed lady that was an outcast, that was a nobody, 12 years with the same issue. Or 12 years, the same amount of time this little girl lived, she had 12 years of an issue. She's made whole, and He calls her daughter, not by name, but daughter. Hey, enough is enough already. As we stand this morning, He knows your name, but He calls us sons and daughters. We are part of the body of Christ. We are the family of God. Enough is enough this morning with the excuses. I wonder this morning who I'm preaching to. That said, "Pastor, I get it. I get it. I got it. You're talking to me. I'm going to step out. Either literally and come to the altar, or I'm going to step out spiritually, lift my hands, lift my voice, And I'm going to settle some things today. Once and for all. Because He died once and for all. And it was enough for everybody. I feel the Holy Ghost stirring right now. I feel the power of God moving right now on somebody. On several somebodies. You've had some issues. Maybe your issue wasn't physical, but it's financial, or it's relationships. You've got some issues. Maybe your issue is not medical, but your issue is a sin. You've got some issues this morning. Maybe it's trust. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's depression. Maybe it's a broken heart. Maybe it's homesick. No. It's all around the sanctuary. Would you begin to lift your hands right now? Come on, if He did it for her, He can do it for you. But you gotta press through. How bad do you want it? How bad do you need it? You gotta press through. You gotta. Come on. Right where you are. Huh. Press through with the Holy Ghost. Begin to speak in other tongues this morning. Come on. Come on. Enough is enough. He can save your backslidden kids. Enough already. Come on. Who's going to step out? He was crowded by people, but only one touched Him. She reaches out and touches Him as the altars are open this morning. Crowds of people. But she touches Him. Who's going to touch Him this morning? Would you come? Huh. Who's going to touch Him this morning? He's waiting. He's waiting. He's looking. If you know you could be made whole, spiritually and emotionally, financially, physically, He's looking, He's looking, He's looking, He's searching. Somebody be bold and courageous in the Holy Ghost. Come on. Enough is enough already. Quit with the excuses. I'm reaching for somebody this morning. In a Christmas season, it's all about Jesus this morning. Come on. Set a fire down in my soul that I can't contain it. That I won't control it. Enough is enough already. Trying to control your emotions. Because I want more. I need more of you. Come on, RT. I want more of you. Come on, there you go. Woo! Enough is enough already. He's enough for everybody. He's enough. I feel the Holy Ghost. I feel the Holy Ghost. Come on. Reach out to somebody. Bring them with you. Or pray with them in the chair. Be sensitive this morning. Have compassion for your brother or your sister. Come on. Have compassion this morning. Come on. define who you are. You are not your issue. You're not your issue. You're not your issue. He calls you daughter. He calls you son. Come on, the Holy Ghost is stirring.